y'all. Boy, we both songs tonight. Calvary. Something about Calvary, amen. Thank God for that blood this evening. And then I get to teach on what we're teaching tonight. So there we go. Nothing to do with Calvary. It's all about Calvary because we can teach this tonight. All right. Proverbs chapter 6. We're just going verse by verse on Sunday evening in the book of Proverbs. If you were with us last week, we went through chapter 5. Looking at that strange, and it says women. But there's a lot of strange, all kinds of critters out there nowadays. Some days you see things you don't know if it's woman, man, never know. And I don't want to know. Oh, was it us? No, it was them. Wasn't it y'all? Had the woman come to the door and just cracked it a little bit. Was that y'all? Yesterday, we had a good time out yesterday. And I've never seen a book. There's probably one out there. And I know these men go out on Thursday, the ladies that go out on Tuesday. You never know what you're going to run into out knocking on doors. I mean, you really just don't. There ought to be a book. Some preacher or somebody ought to write a book about things that's happened. I've had so many stories to tell. It's crazy. But they knocked on the house door and said, woman come to the door and ask who it is and what you want. And she cracked the door open about this big. And she says, how'd she say it? Yeah, I'm not dressed. What do you want? I'd have said, I don't want you to come out that door. That's what I want. You stay on that side of the door. Amen. All right. But again, there's all kinds of strange things. Chapter 5 was about that thought about purity and, about how we need to watch ourselves and that kind of thing. Chapter 6 is a little bit different. Chapter 6 has multiple things, not just one common theme. There's some different areas. We're going to look at three of them tonight real quickly. I know we have our vacation Bible school meeting here in just a little bit, and I don't want to drag it out all night by no means. I want you to get to the meeting. But we're going to look here in chapter 6. Let's stand together. We're going to read verses 1 through 11 this evening. We'll knock out these three different areas. Nothing extraordinary that you probably don't know this evening, but it's always good to be reminded. Verse number 6 here, chapter number 6, verse 1, we start out again, my son. And again, keep that in your mind. Over and over we've seen that phrasing as we see the intimacy of a father talking to his son and giving advice and telling them. And it's more than that. It's God talking to us, giving us not worldly wisdom, giving us his wisdom and his knowledge and the truth. So my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, verse 2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Verse 3, do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Verse 6, go to the ant thou, sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provided her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Verse 12, a naughty person, a wicked man walketh with a forward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, and he speaketh with his feet, and he teacheth with his fingers. Forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. And verse 15, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall be broken without remedy. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you. God, just ask you again to help us, Lord. Give us the right spirit, the right mind. God, help us to learn. God, I want to be armed tonight, God, with truth. And Lord, I do thank you, God, Lord, for the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help it to find a lodging place in our hearts. God, that we could be smarter, that we could be stronger, that we could help others as we go along life's way, Lord. And we'll thank you for all you do. For us in Christ's name, we do pray and ask. Amen. You can be seated this evening. And again, three different places, three different subjects. Verse 1 through 5 is one break. Verses 6 through 11 is the other break. And then verse 12 through 15. It's the third break tonight that we hope to get to. If we don't get to the third one, we'll get it next week. But I think we will. Each one of these is fairly short on what we're going to look at tonight. Now, the first one tonight, we read those first five verses. It says, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend." Verse 4, "Give not sleep to thine eyes, not slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and a bird from the hand of the fowler." Apparently, out of those first five verses there, apparently whatever this young man has done is very important to take care of. It's not something to take lightly. How do you know, preacher? Well, whatever it is, and I'll show you what it is here in just a little bit. We're working our way backwards through this thing. But I want you to understand, you know, a lot of people look at, well, that's no big deal. Well, God says it is a big deal. It's such a big deal that what this young man has done, God says in verse number 5, notice the warning there. He says, deliver thyself. It's in His control to take care of this situation. And friend, tonight, again, it's so easy to blame other people. Always pointing their fingers at somebody else. I was told a long time ago, when you got one finger pointing out, you got three pointing back. Amen? You know, we're guilty most of the time. Amen? I won't say a lot, but probably most of the time. And God tells this young man, deliver thyself. You've got something you need to do. And notice the importance of what we're not talking about getting a little pop on the hand. We're not talking about, you know, getting a little scolding. Whatever it is this young man has done, God says in verse number 5, deliver thyself from what? Notice the importance of what He's saying deliver thyself from. As a roe from the hand of the hunter. Also, He says, as a bird from the hand of the fowler. God is saying to this young man, what you have done is so important that you take care of this need. This thing that you've done is so horrible that you need to deliver thyself. How? As a deer would from a hunter. Or as a bird would from a fowler. What does a hunter want to do to a roe? He wants to kill it. He wants to consume it. What does a fowler want to do to that bird? He wants to kill it. He wants to consume it. And God is telling this young man, He says, what you've done, you need to take care of this. Why? Because it's going to kill you and it's going to consume you. It's important. What did he do, preacher? We'll get there. So we see he's committed some terrible offense that he says, you need to take care of this. They're going to kill you. They're going to consume you. His life is hanging in the balance. You know, urgency today, this, you know, I'm one of these people, man. Give me a, I was told this. My first job out of college. I think it's the only job I've ever been fired at. And this guy was such a coward, he called and fired me over the phone. He didn't want to fire me in person. But he told me this. He says, Anthony, you're the worst person I've ever seen to try to look busy. And I can't look busy. If I got a job to do, let's do it. But to make myself look busy, I can't do it. I just can't. You know, some people can push a broom all day. I'll sweep up, clean up, but when I'm done, I'm done. But some people just make themselves look like they're so busy. You know them guys that you work with, that they don't do a thing all day until the boss man walks around the corner and they'll be busy. I don't know how they know he's coming, but they know. I ain't that guy. I'm usually the opposite of the guy. Boss man walks around, if I ain't got a job to do, I ain't got nothing to do, I ain't gonna be doing nothing. But again, he tells them here it's important what you're doing, an urgency. People today find no urgency, it doesn't seem like, in a lot of situations. They take it like it's nothing. I don't know how many of y'all, probably most of you don't know it. We got a letter in the mail. Ain't you happy? Y'all got any letters in the mail? Not like this one, probably. This one was from the state of North Carolina saying, we're auditing you. Ain't that great? That's wonderful. Hallelujah. You got to have all your stuff to us by June 6th. Guess what happened? Urgency. We didn't wait till June 5th. We decided the day that we got the letter, hey, we got to get out. She called our accountant that day. What's going on? What do we need to do? So I'm saying urgency. And that's what God's telling about this young man. Whatever he's done, God says you need to take care of this in an urgent matter. Why? Because it's like a hunter after a roe. It's like a fowler after the bird. And notice also verse number 4 about this urgency. He says, give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Don't rest. Don't wait. Take care of it when? Verse number 3. Do this now. Take care of this problem. Again, whatever is this young man's done is so bad and so serious that God is saying, this is something you need to take care of right now. Why? Because it's going to eat you, it's going to consume you, and before you know it, you're going to be over your head. So, what is it? What's the problem? Well, it's found in verses 1 and 2. This is what the problem is, my son. If thou be surety for thy friend. Hey, young fellas and ladies. You know who's going to get you in trouble? That guy that says he's your friend. Anybody got any friends like that? Probably some of us has been that friend. That friend is a friend until he gets you in trouble and then he's gone. But notice what he says. He says, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, verse 2, thou art what? What does that mean? You're caught. Like that bird to the fowler, like that roe to the hunter. He says, thou art snared with what? The words of, come on, help me out. Thy mouth. You did it. You're the one that made it. You need to deal with it. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. What's God warning this young man? About making surety for a friend. And I guess probably one of I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Because I don't want you to be embarrassed or mad. Because this gets people mad quicker than anything. You ever help somebody get money? Put your name on the line? They need a co-signer. They need somebody to help them get a loan. And then they don't pay that loan. Guess who it comes back to? You. Why? You made yourself a surety to that bank. And what God is warning this young man is not to put yourself in that place. Not to put yourself, and it's not just financially. I don't like sticking my neck. I've had people call, hey, you know some preachers? I don't even like doing that. Because I know some horrible preachers. You never know what preachers will do. They're just made out of the same stuff y'all are. I don't like telling people, you know, well, you can trust old so-and-so. I can't even trust me. I'm not going to put my mouth out. I'm not going to put my testimony. I'm not going to put out my being about somebody else when I can't control what they do. And God says when you make surety for somebody else, when you step out there and say, I'll stand behind them. God says you're in trouble. God says you're like a roe that the hunter's getting ready to kill. You're like a bird that the fowler is going to catch. And God says don't do that. And if you do that, you better go take care of it. When? Now. Because your testimony is important. I heard a man say this. He was a businessman. Save businessman. He said, I want to say commercial, but it's not really like a commercial. Why don't you spread that part about, you know, to save people, about trying to work? He says, I don't want to work for saved people. He said, they're the ones that won't pay you. Ain't that sad? Where was that at? It was here, I think. It was either here or the first church, one of the churches we pastored. I had to deal with, no, I think it was up in Mount Hebron. We was having some work done up there. And this guy, he didn't want to come do the job because he got burnt heavily by another church. They wouldn't pay their bill. Ain't that sad? What a testimony that the church won't pay their bill. I would rather pay more than I have to pay so I could have a testimony that at least we pay our bills. But that's what God's warning of. He said, don't put yourself out there. And it's not just for a stranger. He says, for your friend. Why? Because what you think is a friend will probably find out. There's, and again, I got some great friends in this world, but I only have one true friend. I don't know what anybody else will do, but I sure know what my friend Jesus will do. He'll do right every time. So again, that's the first warning. Again, and again, notice the seriousness. It's not something to take lightly. He says it's like a hunter after that roe, like a fowler after that bird. It will consume you. It will hurt you. And he says, don't rest. Don't wait. Take care of it now. So tonight, that's warning number one. Warning number two, verses 6 through 11, we have, and we've got a country slap full of this crowd. Laziness. Laziness. I have tried. I'm not real good at it. I've tried to teach my son not to, how to work, and I think I failed. But we were, he had a flat tire on the interstate, and he called me. So I throw a jack in the back of the truck. He didn't have a spare, so I had to go find a tire and a wheel. And here we are on the side of 77 and 40 up there in Statesville. I already had in my mind, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to take care of this. We're going to do this and get off the side of the interstate. I did not want to be on the side of that interstate. So I jump out of the truck. I grab the jack off the back of the truck. I said, you get the tire wrench, get that tire off. I'm over there jacking that tire up. I'm breaking the wheel loose. And he's sitting back there talking to me. I was like, son, now's not the time to talk. Now's time to work. We can talk later. But people today, lazy. And God warns about laziness. And I'm going to say something tonight that some of you ain't going to like. I hope you'll understand. It ain't me saying it. It's God saying it. We have destroyed our country with government assistance. You know what God said? You're supposed to work. And if you don't work, you don't eat. But we have destroyed our country. I'm not going to name names, but I got a neighbor. He's been on disability most of his adult life. He's got more vehicles than I have ever had. And he works every day around his house, but he's on disability. Something's wrong with that. Well, preacher, there's people that are disabled. I understand that. Don't you think God understands that? But there's things people can do. This is what my chiropractor told me. This has been a long time ago. We got to talking about politics. He said, he was a big Tea Party guy. I guess he still is a big Tea Party guy. This is what he said. He said, if you made less than 30-some thousand dollars a year by what he had read and what he had studied out, if you made less than 30-some thousand dollars a year, it would pay you to quit your job, sell everything you got, and live off the government. There's something wrong with that. Everybody all right?
Yes, sir.
We get, and again, we help people, don't get me wrong. We get phone calls daily. People wanting help. Well, preacher, do you help some of them? We do. I've weeded out most of them when I tell them they have to come to church or I even want to talk to them.
Right.
They, you know. And we, again, God, I mean, we should show compassion. We should, but we're not a welfare agency.
Right.
And this is the one that really burns me. I'm on my soapbox now. I have a hard time helping somebody that needs money when they're smoking. I'll even go further. I have a hard time helping people. Preacher, can you help me? I need some food for my kids, and they got two or three dogs there.
Yeah.
If you can feed them dogs,
that's right.
Get rid of your dogs and feed your youngins.
That's right.
Now, this ain't Anthonyology. This is, I'm going to what the Bible says.
That's right.
God says, beware. about being lazy. Fellas, don't be lazy. Let me help you also. And this is another epidemic of our day. I like to be a good helper. You know, not always I'm the guy doing the work. But when the guy's doing the work, I try to think ahead of what he needs next. That way he don't have to say, hey, get this, do that. Listen to me. If I have to tell you everything you're supposed to do, why do I have you? Is that common sense? Ladies, is that common sense? God gave you a brain. Think about what needs to be done and do it. If they have to tell you everything to do, what's your purpose? Now, if you don't know what you're doing, ask. But once you're told what you need to do, do it. Everybody all right? Again, point one, don't put yourself in that place of your friend. Don't make surety for him. Point two, laziness. Let's look at it. This is what God says. Verse number six, go to the ant. Thou what? Sluggard. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provided her meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest. Verse number nine, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? I got another neighbor. I hope my neighbors don't listen to me preach. He does have some physical ailments. He's got a teenage boy. And his mother and father-in-law have to come mow and weed eat his yard. Burns me up. I was thinking, that boy wouldn't live in my house. Get up and get outside. I've never been one just laying around in the bed. Now, you might be able to. I can't. When I wake up, I'm up. There was many times as a boy, I'd be awake for my grandpa. I'd be sitting out there on his front porch waiting for the light to come on so I could go in. I was ready to go. And he milked cows. But notice what he says. Go to the ant, thy sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provided her meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Verse number 11, here's the warning. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. God is saying to the lazy person, poverty's coming at your door. Now, there's not a soul out there that says, come on in, poverty. I want you to come in and be my friend. Nobody wants to live in poverty. Nobody wants to be in that place. But a sluggard, God says that poverty is coming. And it's going to come and sit out at your house and move in. Why? Because you've slept your life away. God says to work. And again, trouble will find a man that's lazy. You ever heard that little phrase? Some people think it's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible, but it's a truth. The idle mind is the devil's workshop. You know why a lot of people get themselves in situations they do? Even young people. If they had, and again, I know we're living a different day. When I grew up, I didn't have any problems finding something to do. I learned real quickly not to say I'm bored. Because my daddy or my mama or my grandpa would find something for me to do. But kids today don't have a lot to do. That's when you ought to make a garden. That's when you ought to get them something to do. But an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And that's this laying of the hands, this laying around the house, this laziness, it brings destruction. Notice the example that he gives to the lazy person, the ant. He tells the lazy person, don't look at the... And that's another thing. I had a man tell me this one time about wishing. He said, you're going to wish your life away. You can sit back and think, boy, I wish I was this, or I wish I was that, or, boy, look at what they got, and I wish I had that. Or people work to get what they got. Now, there are some people that's been given a silver spoon. I know that. But the majority, if you'll find it out, somebody worked to get where they was. And I believe if you work hard enough, you can get things. And there's nothing wrong with things. God blesses man if you'll turn around and give it back to the Lord. But he says, go to that ant. The smallest of all things there, he says, go look at it. And again, that's one of the most amazing things. I ain't got time to go into all the things that I read about ants. But it's amazing. Out of all, and I know bees are the same way. I know Brother David and them mess with bees, and bees are pretty amazing things. But ants, the colony of that ant, it's amazing how they work together. Everybody has a job. Everybody's got something to do to contribute to the colony. I thought this was pretty amazing. I saw this on TV, and I didn't think much about it. Then when I started studying with this, I read this, and I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing. You remember all the flooding that we've had over the last little bit? And I can't remember what state it was. It might have been South Carolina. I don't remember where it was. Whatever state it was. There was so much flooding, they showed fire ants. When that flood come through, those fire ants, they instantly, when that water comes, they would come together as a colony and make a ball. And they showed it on TV. They showed these ants, this gobs of them, just out in the water. And I thought, that's pretty amazing. Because we had a fire ant hill out here many years ago now. And I knocked the top off of it. I mean, it was just a big old mound of dirt. And I just knocked the top of it off because I was mowing that day. And within just an hour or so, I came back by. As soon as I knocked the top off that ant hill, I mean, it poured out of the ground by the hundreds of ants. They went out there and said, "You broke my rights." You know what they did? They started working. They didn't complain about it. How do you know? I watched them. And within about 2 hours, they had every bit of that dirt put back in place. And everything was back right. But back to those ants in that water. Here they are. They said those ants, what they do is they come together and they form a ball. And listen to this. I thought this was so amazing. And I don't know how long an ant can live underwater. They do. I don't. They do. Those ants, they'll cling together to be able to float as a colony. There'll be some above water and there'll be some below water. And you know what they do? They roll over. So the ones that were in the water are out of the water. And the ones that were out of the water are in the water. And when they get to that place, they'll roll over again. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine what our country would be like if we get off our, "You owe me! You broke my rights!" And if we just work. Let's go a little deeper. Can you imagine what the church would be like?
Right. Amen.
Churches, and I'm not fussing. He's talking about me. If that's your feeling, you probably need to come to the altar.
Amen.
Most people come to church wanting to be served.
Right.
And that's the total opposite of why you should be here. You're here to serve.
Right.
Well, when's my time? Well, we're going to roll around every once in a while. I'll be underwater for a while and you can breathe. And then we'll roll over and I'll be out of the water and I'll breathe. But work. We need to get back to working. Notice this ant. I've got to move along. He says about this ant, where's it at? Verse number 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Notice about this ant. It has no guide. Nobody has to sit there and tell it what to do. It just jumps in there. It has no guide. It doesn't have an overseer. It doesn't have to sit there and crack the whip. Keep working. Keep working. My wife knows me better than y'all know me. Many a times we'll be at a restaurant, and this is one of my pet peeves. That just is. It bothers me. It beyond measure, it bothers me. You go into a fast food restaurant that's not fast food. There'll be five or six young people behind the counters yakking and playing with their phones, doing nothing, and you're standing there.
Yeah.
That bothers me. They're getting paid to work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what they should be doing? If I owned a company, the first thing I would do is at the door, you can either put your phone in a box or you can leave it at the house. If somebody needs you, they can call me. I'll come get you. I'll tell you another thing, and I'm not being me in my little soapbox. When I work, public work, we got a break in the morning, we got lunch, and then we got a break in the afternoon. That's what I got. Now, I ain't going to say I was working up. I've heard studies, I don't remember the numbers. Out of an 8-hour day, how much do you think people actually work?
2 hours.
2 hours. Maybe. But you know what used to burn me up? These guys that smoked. Where'd Joe go? Oh, he's on smoking. We're supposed to be working. A person that smoked got about twice to 10 times more breaks than I did. I say, I'm going to start smoking just so I can goof off. No, I didn't ever think that. But God says, you sluggard, why is it important? He says, consider this ant. It doesn't have an overseer. It doesn't have a guide. It doesn't have a ruler. But notice what it does do. Verse number 8. It provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. You know what a person at work does? Provides. And God has commanded us. Let me read it to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 10 says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. That's pretty drastic. Can you imagine? Vote Anthony White for president. If you don't work, you don't eat. Now, I'll never be president. Can you imagine if we took to that rule today? It'd be a bunch of starving people. I asked Brother Jim this, and he probably remembers the number. I don't remember. It's been a long time ago, Brother Jim, but I asked you something. I don't remember if it was WIC or something. How much Rowan County spent for that kind of stuff? It was an astronomical amount of money every month was going out into our community for people that won't work. What is it? $3 million, and that's just Rowan County. A month. Did y'all hear that? $3 million. Now, that goes into this part. We're not going to get through but two of them tonight. I'm a very logical person. Who's one of the, I think they are, but who is one of the biggest companies in our day? Amazon. Amazon is probably one of the biggest companies in our country, if not world. How does Amazon get to be the biggest company or in the country or the world? How do they do that? They're providing a service. They're making something. Freightliner. We got folks that work at Freightliner. You know why they have jobs at Freightliner? They sell Freightliners. Rowan County, $3 million a month. What does Rowan County make or sell to get $3 million? Nothing. How does Rowan County get $3 million a month? People that work! They rob you to help them. Now, I'm not being ugly. I understand somewhat sort of what this help is, and people do need help from time to time. It was never intended for someone to live off of. It was there to help them get back on their feet or help them get over a hump. Well, I've got this disability. What's your disability? Well, I saw you at Walmart, so apparently you can get out. Surely there's a job at a convenience store. You can stand there and take it money. Well, I don't want that job. So you'd rather take my money. I know. Nobody likes this. But God says we ought to work. That's what he says here again. Let me read to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." God says, you ain't working, but you're strong enough to be a busybody. But you won't work. Verse 12 says, "Now them that are such we command and exhort, not by the preacher, by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their," then the key word, "own bread." You work, you provide, you eat your own bread. You're lazy, you live off the government, you steal from me, you eat my bread. Again, what does it take for Rowan County to come up with $3 million a month? It takes people that work. And that's just one little piece of the whole big puzzle. All right. Verse 11, here's the warning. "So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and they want as an armed man." They're robbing you. That sluggard is just like a robber coming into your house. "Give me your stuff." You worked hard for your money. You took time. You worked two jobs to provide. And then there's sorry people that won't work any so you can provide for them. God says that's wrong. I didn't say it was wrong. I do say it, but God said it. God says, you sluggard, go look at the ant. That little old thing. And look how it works. Nobody has to tell it what to do. Nobody has to stand over it with a whip. It just works. Well, I can't find a job. I've had one man. I'm done. I've had one man. We've been here 13 years. I've had one man come to the church, and this was his question. He says, "I'm not asking for money. I'm not begging for a handout. This is what it..." Now listen to me. You're putting your Bibles up. You're going to miss this. He asked this. He says, "Is there something I can do to earn some money?" You know what he did? He washed every window in this church. He even washed a window on my car. And I gave him some money and some food. He was willing to work. That's what God says we should do. It's work. All right. Let's stand together this evening.